Yeah, well, they're the highest in the country for a reason. I said the first thing, while this is a historic fact, there are two things. Firstly, since last January, we've had much-needed improvements in minimum wages and so on. But what's missing in line with those improvements is government support for retail, hospitality and smaller businesses that would be traditionally on our high streets, where they've had to sustain the increase of almost 11% in wages, the cost of auto-enrollment for pensions and also paid sick leave. All very, very welcome initiatives by government. However, what should be allowed is that these businesses can offset some of these increases against employers' PRSI, against commercial rates and other taxation measures, so that while these much-needed improvements are taking place, they are being supported by the state in the way that they should be, so that businesses survive. The other thing that we have is in traditional streetscapes of, you know, historic towns that are, you know, 800 years old or thereabouts, like Sligo, is you have older retail spaces. And we must incentivize people through reductions in commercial rates to amalgamate some of these units into larger, more workable retail settings for the modern era on the one hand, or perhaps some can pivot back into being residences. And while there are some national initiatives in this regard, not enough is being done. You could also say on the hospitality side that businesses are suffering nationally. We had the increase in VAT back up to 13.5% from 9%, which certainly has had an impact. But apart from that, and I've been saying this for 3 years, since we've had outbreak of war in Ukraine and the immigration crisis, foolishly, the government took a very unstrategic approach and effectively incentivized the use of all accommodation, be it traditionally tourism, student or anything else, specifically and only for the use by those who are seeking accommodation from the immigrant crisis. Now, the impact on this is downstream industries, apart from accommodation providers, have suffered, because obviously you don't have the same level of turnover of people coming into town, spending money, whether it's in bars, restaurants, shops and so on. And of course, more recently, as covered by Ocean FM, is the absolute farcical situation where the government rewarded a British-based fund for the opportunistically leaving accommodation vacant for over a year so they could avail of a lucrative state contract instead of that accommodation being available here. So all of these matters are interlinked. It's not, there's no silver bullet to solve it. There are a number of factors which have Sligo at the top, and other places, I'd say, you know, while Sligo's at the top, I'm sure Leitrim and Donegal are not far behind. You know, it's the age-old thing too. We have we don't have the population, and we don't have the senior ministers, and the resources follow both. So one of the things I hope to raise in the Dáil actually tomorrow evening is the fact the government has just received word of the fact that they'll receive a 13 billion euro windfall, which they didn't want and seemingly don't need. They will never have a better opportunity in the history of the state over the next 100 years to address the infrastructure regional imbalance in terms of having the money to provide enabling infrastructure in terms of access predominantly, and that's roads, rail and technological infrastructure that can do two things. It can enable us to perform to our potential over here, but also it can assist the eastern conurbation in acting as a pressure valve for them to give them the breathing space they need in order to take stock and continue as the economic driver for the nation. And we need Dublin and the other eastern towns and cities to do that. So that's one opportunity that I'd like to see them in. Will they listen to me? It'll be the first time if they did. I think they're probably much more likely to invest 12 billion back into the national debt or some of the rainy day funds. But if it were me, that's what I'd do.
And Deputy, when you're out on the streets today, like we are here, and we're talking about these vacancy rates, but then we're also seeing, like you just said, this windfall of money coming, and, you know, the plan for that could be ideally some infrastructure. But that could be a key to unlocking more potential in the Northwest and towns like Sligo here today. It's a big opportunity, isn't it, right there? That wasn't planned for. This is new.
Absolutely, yeah. So if you speak to the IDA, Enterprise Ireland, the local enterprise offices in the northwest of the country, what are the biggest issues for them in supporting Indigenous business creation or attracting foreign direct investment or investment for other parts of the country in terms of job creation? Number one, housing. Number two, access infrastructure. Perhaps they're both 1A and 1B as opposed to 1 and 2. And here's the opportunity to do that in terms of, as I said, roads, rail, air, in terms of, you know, bringing Knock Airport more into play for the broader region, and also technologically in terms of broadband and so on. So there's real opportunity there, but sadly the misalignment of policy nationally and the non-strategic approach taken by governments time and again of all colours and no colour is that they are reactionary and by the seat of their pants, rather than sitting down strategically and saying, look, we know exactly how to tackle this. Now there's 13 billion. As I said, it wasn't expected. You couldn't plan to have it, but now it's there, and it would be indeed prudent to put it into enabling infrastructure for the Western Seaboard that could have performed to potential, and that's to everybody's gain. And instead of being seen by, those inside the pale wrongly as, a region that is a pain in the ass, we can be making a very sustainable contribution to the national effort and allowing them some breathing space to take stock and kick on as the economic drivers we need them to be.